Shalom to all. Today's Daf Yomi Mishnah is we're going to learn Maseches Midos, Perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph, all the way through Perek Dalid, Mishnah Dalid. On to Perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph. Now we discuss the Mizbeach itself, which is the main Mizbeach that all the Korbanos were brought on. And before we begin, just important to bear in mind, if you don't have a picture in front of you, the Mizbeach was quite wide and tall. And it was actually made up of three blocks. The bottom one was very short, the middle one was the tallest, and then the top one was basically in between the two of them, making up for a total of 10 amas of height, which we're going to be seeing right now. So as the Mishnah tells us, the bottom of the Mizbeach was 32 by 32. Then Ola Amah V'Kanas Amah, that base, which was called the Yesod, went up one Amah, and then it indented in Amah. Zah Yesod, that's the Yesod of the Mizbeach. Now Nimsa Shlesh Mo Shleshim. Turns out that the next section of the Mizbeach is only 30 by 30 Amahs. Then Ola Chamesh V'Kanas Amah, the wall then rose 5 Amahs and went in one Amah. And Zah HaSoiviv, that's called the Soiviv, which is like the ledge or a walkway that the Kaihan would be able to walk around. Nimsa Esmushmeina, turns out that this top section of Mizbeach is 28 by 28 amas. Then, makam akronos am mizeh va'am mizeh, the place of the kronos, which are basically the horns of the Mizbeach, meaning at the top of the Mizbeach, in the four corners, there were horns which were protruding out the top of them in amah by an amah. Nimtza turns out that the area within the horns is esem sheshel esem shesh, that's 26 by 26 amas. And then, makam hiluch raglai akehanim am mizeh va'am mizeh, the place where the kehanim would walk around the top of the Mizbeach, in between the horns, meaning the area where they're not going to be bumping into the kronos, and also where they're not going to be walking inside, lest they touch the maracha, which is where the fire is. So they had this walkway of an ama. Nimta esim v'arba, esim v'arba, makam maracha, turns into the maracha, where the fire is. That was 24 by 24 amos. However, Amar Rabbi Yosi argues that mitchila loy haya el shmeinu esrim ha-shmeinu esrim, that originally in the first base of Mikdash, the base of Mizbeach was only 28 by 28 amos, and then kainis v'aylim midazu, it kept on going up and in with the same measurements that we had before, meaning went up an ama and in an ama. So the next section is 26 by 26 amos, then you go up 5 amos and in an ama. So the top section was 24 by 24 amos. Then we have the ama in every corner of the kronos. So it turns out that the area within that is 22 by 22 amos. Then accounting for the place where the kehanim walk, so we're left with 20 by 20 amos of the maracha. And that's what Mishnah says, achanim samakam maracha esmal esrim. So the maracha is left with 20 by 20 amos, not 24 by 24. However, shal b'nei ha-gaila, by the second base of Mikdash, when the people came from Golos and they began rebuilding it, ha'isifu olav arba amos min adar v'arba amos min ha-mayriv, they added on another 4 amos to the entire structure of the Mizbeach, 4 from the south and 4 from the west. Kimin gamma, that's like Greek letter gamma, which is basically like an L, and that's when we get to the final number of the Tanakama. Now, how do we know the base of the Mizbeach was really 32 by 32, which Mimela means that the top of the Mizbeach, the Maracha, was 24 by 24? Shenemar, because the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, V'Ariel, Shtemisrei Arech v'Shtemisrei Reichav Revua, that the Ariel, which is referring to the Maracha, the place of the fire, that was 12 by 12 amos. Now, Yochel, you might think, Shein El Shtemisrei El Shtemisrei, that means it was literally 12 by 12 amos and not 24 by 24. That can't be, because Kshuaymer, when the Pasuk then says Al Arbas Rivaav, which means that it's four quarters or it's four sides, Malamid Shemino Emtsahu Maidij Demisrael Melchal Ruach, that really teaches us that 12 amos is being measured from the very center of the Mizbeach, and that's what the Pasuk's telling us, measure 12 amos in every direction. So that turns out to be 24 by 24 amos, which means if we're working backwards, the base would be 32 by 32 amos. Now, more about the Mizbeach, Machotchel Sikra Chagr Be'emtsa, there's a red line, a red thread that wrapped around the Mizbeach right at the midpoint. That differentiated between the upper and lower bloods. Some korbanos had their blood sprinkled above this line, some below this line, so that's why we have the line. Now going back to the bottom, the base of the Mizbeach, it ran along the entire north and western part of the Mizbeach. In other words, when you're standing by the ramp of the Mizbeach, which we're going to see is in the south of it, so that means the back wall of the Mizbeach is the north, and then the left wall is the west. So along the back and left-hand side of the Mizbeach, there was this Yesod, this base of an Amah, and then it ate up, which means a little bit of this base curved into the south, which is right at the front wall of the Mizbeach, and another Amah along the eastern side, and so this base did not wrap around the entire Mizbeach. It was around a little bit more than 50% of it. However, for the majority of the southern and eastern walls of the Mizbeach, there was no Yesod. We can use causing the base of the Mizbeach, at the base of the Mizbeach, by the southwestern corner, there were two holes. Remember, the front of the Mizbeach, if you will, is in the south. Then that left-hand corner, right at the beginning of the Mizbeach, that's southwest, there were two holes in the Yesod. Kimin shnei chatam dakim, like two small nostrils. Shadam mitanam al Yesod, maravi va Yesod, drami yardin bohen, the blood that was placed on the west and the southern base, they would go down in them. We know that certain karbanas, the leftover blood had to be poured on the south and western base, and so these two holes were right at the southwest, and that's where the blood was poured. It went into these holes. Umas arvin ba'ama, then they would mix in the ama of Yetzal Nachal Kidron and go out to Nachal Kidron. What's this referring to? So there's an amma, channel of water running through the azara. And the reason why it's called an amma is because it was an amma wide and an amma deep. So this blood, once it went through these holes in the base, it would run along the floor of the azara. According to some, it would go through a pipe. It would then feed into this channel, then go out of the base of Mikdash to Nachal Kidron, Kidron Valley, which is below. And actually, this amma served a very important purpose because all the blood and liquid that spilled on the floor of the azara would be swept into this amma. And sometimes when they needed to clean the floor of the azara, they would plug up the exit hole, kind of like plugging up the bath, so you're able to fill it up. And then the stream would obviously continue running and it would overflow its banks and flood the entire azara with water. And that's a really easy way to clean it, kind of like how we do sponja here in Eretz Yisrael. Moving on to Mishnah Gimel, Lamata Baritzba Ba'isei HaKaren, below on the floor, right by that Karen, the southwestern one, Makam HaYosham Amal Amma, there was an area, there was an Amma by an Amma, Batavashal Shayesh, it was a marble tablet, like a floor tile, Batabasa Gavuaba, there was a ring in it that enabled one to pick up this floor tile, Shabbat Yardin Lashis, Umanakanoisai, that's how one could go down to the Shis or the Shitin and clean it out. This was a chamber that was basically underneath the Mizbeach, that when the Nesachim, the wine libations, were poured on top of the Mizbeach, they would go down to the Shitin, they would be left there, and since it was very thick, heavy, potent wine that they used back then, it would congeal, and so every once in a while, Kaihanim would go down to clean out all this congealed wine. That's what the Mishnah just told us. Continue to describe the Mizbeach, like Kevash Hayel Drem Shal Mizbeach, there was a ramp at the south of the Mizbeach, Shalesh Mishnah Morechav Shesh Esrei, 32 by 16 Amos, which means it was 16 Amos wide and 32 Amos long. That's the way they got to the top of the Mizbeach, and Revuva Haisaloi B'Maravai, it had a window or a hollow on the west-hand side, meaning on the left-hand side of the Mizbeach, Shesham HaYunaisim Psulei Chatzaoif, that's to replace Psulei Chatzaoif, which means when a chatas that was a bird became pustle and couldn't be brought on the Mizbeach, but they had to wait till it stayed overnight to become even more pustle. We're not going to get into that discussion now, but it needed to have lina, it needed to stay overnight. So they'd put it in this little indentation, it would stay there overnight, then they would remove it and dispose of it as necessary. We discussed the Mizbeach, Echad Avni HaKevesh, Vechad Avni HaMizbeach, whether we're talking about the stones used for the Kevesh for the ramp or for the Mizbeach itself, Mibekas Beis Kerem, they come from the area of Beis Kerem, which is outside Yerushalayim. They had great stones over there. V'chayfen L'mata Me'Abasula, they dig underneath Basula, which is untouched soil. That's the only place the stones are allowed to come from. And Mivi Misham Avan Shleimois, whole stones have to be brought from there. They can't be chipped or broken. They have to be whole stones. Not only that, it also has to be Shaloi Hunaf Arlei and Barzel, then no iron touched them. Literally, Hunaf means waved or raised over them, meaning no iron implements were allowed to be used to take out these stones. Why is that? Shabarzel Paisel Benagio, because iron pasels, even if it just simply touches the Mizbeach, and also Ubegima Bechol Dover, that's Parber Gersetz from the Rav, if something nicks one of the stones and chips it, even if it's not iron, it's something else, that passels the stone. Therefore, Nifkum Achas Mehen, if one of the stones became pogum, it got nicked or chipped, Hipsula, that one is passel, the Mizbeach is not to be used, and has to be taken out of the Mizbeach, but with cooling chairs, all the other ones are kosher. Now, furthermore, Umalabinin Oysan Pamayim B'Shana, twice a year, fresh plaster was placed all around the Mizbeach to keep it nice and fresh, Achas B'Pesach, Achas B'Chag, once before Pesach, once before Sukkot, and Vahechol, regarding the outside of the Hechol, Pam Achas B'Pesach, that was freshly plastered once a year before Pesach. Now, Rabbi Omer, he further clarifies, Kol Erev Shabbos, Melamdin Oysan Mapam Ne'adomim, every Erev Shabbos, they would whiten, meaning they would wipe the Mizbeach with a cloth because of the blood that was sprinkled on it, and that was also another way of keeping it nice and fresh and clean. Now going back to the plastering of the Mizbeach, Loi HaYosadin Oysav HaChafes Shel Barzel, they would not use a chafes, which is translated as a trowel. In Eretz Yisrael, we would call that a shpachtel. That's a tool that you use when you plaster something. So an iron one was not used, Shama Yigav Yifsal, because it might just simply touch one of the stones as it's going to postle it, and therefore a wooden one was used. Now here we clarify, why is Barzel not allowed to even touch the stones? Shama Barzel Nivra L'Katzer Yom Shel Adam, because iron was created, meaning when it was created, it could be used to shorten the life of a person, namely when it's made into weapons. But v'amizbeach never laharach yom shel adam. The mizbeach was created to lengthen the life of a person, namely a person might be chayv misa of sorts because of an aver that he did, but he brings a karbon and that brings about a kapara, and therefore ein abedin shunaf hamakatzer al amarech. It's not proper that the makatzer, that which shortens, is able to be lifted on, meaning is able to touch that which lengthens. Moving on to Mishnah Hey, we continue discussing the layout of the azara. V'tabayis ho'yulitzfani shel mizbeach, towards the north of the mizbeach, which means again, when a person walks into the azara, he would turn towards the right. That's the north side. So to the north of the mizbeach, there were rings set into the floor. Shisha sedarim shel arba arba, six rows of four rings each. And v'yesharim some say arba shel shisha shisha, it was four rows of six rings each. Now, what were these rings used for? Shalim shechtin sakachim, they would shecht kachim with them. When shechting an animal, they want to be able to hold it down. So these rings were in the floor. Part of them was able to be lifted up. The animal's neck was placed inside, and then the ring was closed, holding it in place, and that's where kachim were shechted. Remember, this is in the north of the azara, and there's many many, many korbanos that are shechted there, hence why there's rings in that area. Now, further describing the Azara, there was also Beis HaMitmachayim towards the north of the Mizbeach. Now, modern day Hebrew, a mitbach is a kitchen, and this area was very similar to a kitchen. What was it? In this area, there were 8 short pillars, Ravin Shel Erez Al Gabayan. There were blocks of cedar wood on the top of these pillars, and there were iron hooks set into these wood blocks that were on the pillars. Each one of them had 3 rows, meaning there was 3 wooden blocks. The bottom one was narrow, the upper one was wider, and the top one was the widest. What were they for? Shabahen Tailin. That's where they would hang the animals from. That helped them begin the skinning process. And furthermore, they would skin them from here, also using marble tables that were in between the pillars. These tables helped hold the animal up and also kept them cool, because marble stays cool. That's what the marble tables were for. That's the Beis HaMitmachayim area of the Azara. And we discussed in the layout of the Azara, HaKior, the Kior, which was large kli that had water in it with faucets and spouts that the Kohanim used to wash their hands and feet. That was in between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Remember, the Mizbeach is placed just about halfway in between the entrance of the Azara and the entrance of the Ulam. So the Kior was in between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Umashal Klabi Darim, but it was pulled, shifted a little bit towards the south. Now, Ben Ulam and Mizbeach, in between the Ulam and Mizbeach, Shtayim Ve'esrim Amo, there was a space, there was a gap of 22 Amos. However, since, as we know, we've said many times before, the Beis HaMikdash is built on a hill, so there's a number of steps throughout the structure of the Beis HaMikdash in order to able one to, so to speak, walk up the hill. So here we have another set of steps. There was 12 steps there. The height of the step was half of an amma. And then the straight space, meaning the width or the depth of the stair, meaning the flat part that you put your foot on as you're walking forward, that's also an amma. As we go up steps, we have amma, amma. The next 2 steps, that flat part was an amma. But then the third of those steps, that flat part of the step was 3 amas long. So it was a nice long wide step. And once again, we have amma, amma, v'roivet shalosh, another 1 amma step, a 1 amma step, and then a 3 amma step, and then rol yoyna, the upper section of the steps, amma, amma, v'roivet arba, it was 2 steps of an amma, and then that top step was 4 amas long, not 3. Now, Yudamer, he says, al yoyna amma, amma, v'roivet chamesh, that the top one was 5 amas, not 4. Continue to describe, Mishnah Zion tells us, pischa shel ulam, the entrance of the ulam, gavay arbaim amma, it was 40 amas high, v'roch by Esrim Amma, and 20 Amas wide. That was the largest opening in the Beis HaMikdash, and V'chamesh Maltres Shel Melas Hayu Al Gabav, there was 5 beams of oak on top of it. To add to the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash, there was this design of 5 oak beams on top of the entrance of the Ulam. And you might have a handy diagram in your Mishnayos, which you can take a peek at, which will help a little bit in understanding the continuation of the Mishnah. And so here it describes all these beams. The bottom beam went beyond the entrance, an Amma here, an Amma there. Since we just said the entrance of the Ulam was 20 Amas wide, so that means that this beam was 22 Amas long, because there's an extra Amma here, extra Amma there. The second beam, that was above the first one, so that was an Amma longer than it on this side and that side, so that means that it was 24 Amas. And then we keep on making the Cheshbin, Nimses al Yonah Shleishim Amma, turns out that the uppermost beam, the fifth one, was 30 Amas long, because it was 1 Amma longer on each side than the one below it. Now, in between these 5 beams, V'nidbach Shalavanim Hayabin Kol Achas V'Ach, there was a row of stones in between one of them, and again, this was for beauty and design purposes. Are we describing the ulam? There were beams of cedar wood that were attached between the wall of the ulam and the wall of the heichal. Why is that? So that it doesn't collapse or buckle. Remember, the ulam was extremely tall. The walls were about 100 amas high, and there wasn't much else of a structure within the ulam in order to support the height of those walls. Therefore, there had to be these strong cedar beams attaching the wall of the ulam to the wall of the heichal. The heichal was very solid, and this helped keep the ulam solid as well. There were golden chains that were set into the roof of the ulam, going almost down to the floor. These golden chains were used by the young kaihanim. They would climb up them and look at the ataris, which were the crowns that were in the windows facing into the heichal. And where do we get these crowns from? Shemar, the pasuk says, these crowns will be for chelim, tovil, daya, and chen ben safanya, lezikarin beheichal Hashem, as zikarin as remembrance for the heichal of Hashem. And so these golden crowns there, those were looked after by these young kaihanim. Now, Geffen Shel Zav, there was a golden grapevine that was at the entrance of the heichal. Umodel Gabi Klonosois is hanging on wooden beams, kind of like a regular grapevine. And Kol Mishu Misnadev Olei Gargari Eshkol, anyone who wanted to donate gold to the Beis HaMikdash, they would form it in the shape of either a leaf, a gargir is like one grape, and Eshkol is a whole cluster of grapes, and maybe Vitaliba, and they would bring it and hang it on this grapevine. And Arbelez Reb Tzadik, he says, my story is a story, There was 300 kehanim that were needed to move this golden grapevine. Now, in the Perek Dalet Mishnah Aleph, we're going to be discussing the Heichal. Now, in general, the entire main structure of the building of the Beis HaMikdash is called the Heichal. However, very often, it's also used to just refer to the first part of the Heichal, which is also known as the Kodesh. That's Le'umas, the Kodesh Kadashim. So, we have the Kodesh part of the Heichal and the Kodesh Kadashim part of the Heichal. But again, really, the entire structure is called the Heichal. So, first, we discuss the entranceway. Pischoshal Heichal, Gavi Asram Amav, Rachbay Asra Amos. The entranceway of the Heichal was 20 amas high and 10 amas wide. Now, something the Mishnah does not tell us is that it was also 6 amas thick. That's pretty thick. When you walk through a standard doorway, how thick is it? Maybe a couple inches, really not that much. Perhaps you're on some tour of an old castle or something like that. Maybe you're in the old city of Tzfat, or in Yerushalayim, one of these old buildings out of stone, and the doorway or entranceway that you walk through is made out of stone and it's pretty thick, maybe a foot or two, maybe 3. Here, the wall of the entrance of the Heichal, meaning that thickness of the entranceway, was 6 amos. And why is that relevant? So we see right now, it had 4 doors, 2 on the inside, 2 on the outside. And how do we know this? Because the pasuk says, 2 doors for the Heichal for the Kodesh, which means 2 sets of doors, which means that as a Kohen is going from the Ulam into the entranceway of the Heichal, there's a set of doors right there at the front of the entranceway. That's what's being called Chitzoin, because it's facing towards the outside of the base of Mikdash. And then as he walks through the 6 Amma entranceway, there's another set of doors there. That's the inner set. Now, where do these doors go? Remember, we had just said that the width of the entranceway is 10 amos. And if there's 2 doors, that means each of these doors are 5 amos wide. Now, where are they going to open to? So, the outer doors, the ones that are right next to the Heichal, they open inside into the entranceway. And that means they cover the entire thickness of the entranceway because the post that they're on is an amma, and then they are 5 amos. So, when they're open to the inside, they're covering the entire wall of the entranceway of the Heichal. And Mapnimios, the inner doors, the ones that lead from the entranceway into the Heichal itself, Niftachos Losoich HaBayis, they're opened into the Bayis, meaning into the Heichal. Lechasois Achar Adolosois, they cover the back side of the door, meaning when you walk into Heichal itself, you turn towards the right or left, that wall, which is now the front wall, if you're turned around, is completely covered by the doors that opened all the way. In other words, instead of just opening to 90 degree angle, they open at 180 degrees, completely laying flat against the wall of the Heichal. And here's something unique regarding this. Shekal Bayis Tuach Bazav, the entire inner part of the Heichal was covered in gold, Chutz Me'achar D'Losois, besides for behind the doors, because they're covered by the doors, so they didn't coat them with gold. And Rabbi Yehuda argues, and he says, B'soicha Pesach Hayu Amdois, both of the doors, the outer and inner ones, they stayed within the Pesach, within the 6 Amma entranceway. K'min Istramita Hayu V'nikpalas L'chareyan. They were like an Istramita, and they would fold behind themselves. Elu Shnei Amos U'mechza V'elu Shnei Amos U'mechza. 2.5 Amos here, 2.5 Amos there. In other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the doors stayed within the entranceway, 2 doors in the front and 2 doors in the back, each one being 5 amas wide. Each 5 amma panel was actually divided into 2 panels of 2.5 amas, which were connected by a hinge, and then the doors would just fold within themselves, kind of like those folding dividers that you sometimes see in shuls or batei midrashim to make a shear room or something like that. So that's how these 2 sets of doors leading from the ulam to the heichal looked, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And chatzi am mezuz mikan, chatzi am mezuz mikan. According to him, each mezuzah, meaning each doorpost, was half of an amma. And what's the source for this? Shem the pasuk says, ushtaim delasois la delasois shtaim musabois delasois shtaim ladels echas ushtei delasois lacheres. And so this tells us that there was 2 doors for each one of the doors, and that supports Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And we're describing the entranceway of the Heichal. In the previous mission, we had learned that the thickness of the entranceway from the ulam into the Heichal was 6 amois. There was an outer set of doors, an inner set. Now we continue discussing this. Ushnei pashpishin hayulei l'shar gadol. The shar gadol, which is the main entranceway, had 2 small entrances, echem atzafim echem adarim, one in the south, one in the north, meaning one to the right and to the left of it. Shabadarim lo nechaz by me'olam, the small entranceway to the left, no one ever walked into it. Ball of whom before shall I day cheskel, that's explained clearly by cheskel, shenem the pasuk says, vayomer elai Hashem, Hashem said to me, hashar hazeh sagur yeh lo yipasech ve'ish lo yavai bai, this gate shall be closed, it shall not be opened, no man shall go into it, ki Hashem alike Yisrael bavai, Hashem goes into it, so to speak, vayah sagur, it needs to be closed. So it means that only one of these side doorways which was used was the one in Tzafon, the one on the right, and Natal Samavteach, the Kohen who's opening up the Heichal, he would take the key, upasachas apishpash, he would open up this small entrance way, v'nachas la'ata, then he would enter the chamber, the small room that was there, and then he would turn to the left, ume'ata la'heichal, from there he would go into the heichal, and now he would be inside the heichal, behind the inner doors, and then he would open everything from behind. He would first open the inner doors, swinging them all the way 180 degrees, laying them against the wall, and then he would walk the six amas and open the outer doors, which led to the ulam, laying them against the wall of the entranceway, as we had described in the previous Mishnah. However, Rabbi Yehuda argues, and he says that no, b'saych av yishal kaisel ha'imahalech, he would walk within the thickness of the wall. In other words, when the kohen who was opening up the Beis HaMikdash for the day would walk into the pishbush, that side entrance, he wouldn't go through to the heichal, he would go through this little walkway that led into the space in between the two doors. Until now, he's in between the two gates. And then he would open the outer ones from behind, from inside, and the inner ones he would open from the outside. Now, we want to mention the Gimel, continue to describe the bias or the Heichal, the main building of the Beis HaMikdash. And over here, it's very important to note that there's actually two main Pirushim that explain all the upcoming Mishnayas. On one side, we basically have the Rav, who's going with the Rambam. On the other side, we have Rashi, Rush, and many other Mepharshim as well. And there's quite a big discrepancy in how the layout of the Heichal is based off their different ways of explaining. Now we're going to keep it pretty general because in order to fully understand this and grasp it well, you would have to have multiple pictures in front of you to be able to understand all the differences in the layout. And since that's beyond the peer review of this year, we're just going to keep it very general. So the Mishnah tells us, Ushleishim Ushmeina Ta'im Hayushaim. There were 38 Ta'im. Now we had this word Ta before, Taf Aleph. That basically means a room or a chamber. This is actually used in modern Hebrew as well. When you call somebody's cell phone, you get the voicemail. What does it say? You have reached the Ta Koli. Ta is Taf Aleph Koli, meaning the voicemail box. So Ta could be used as a box or a chamber. So the trunk of the car is sometimes called Ta Mit'an, which is the chamber or the box or the room, the section which is meant for loading things into. So a Ta is like a small chamber or room. So there were 38 chambers or rooms surrounding the entire Heichal. Obviously, on the front wall, which is the east wall, there was nothing. But on the north, west, and southern walls of the Heichal, that's where all these chambers were located. On the north and south, which is the right and left, there were 15. And in the west, which is the back wall by the Kodesh Kedoshim, there were 8. Shabbat Tzofen, Shabbat Darim, the ones in the north and south, I mean the ones on the right and left, there was 5 on top of 5 and 5 on top of those. In other words, there were 3 levels or 3 floors, if you will, of chambers, of rooms. And there was 5 rooms on each floor. So it was 1, 2, 3 for a total of 15. And Shabbat Meir, the ones in the west, the bottom in the middle one had 3 chambers, ushnayim agabehem, and the top row only had 2 chambers. We further describe this, ushlesha psachim hayulchal echad v'achad. Each one of these rooms, these ta'im, these chambers, had 3 openings or entrances. Echad l'ta min hayimin, v'echad l'ta min hasmael, one to the chamber on the right, one to the chamber on the left, v'echad l'ta shal gabav, and one to the chamber on top of it. So imagine you have a whole bunch of hotel rooms right next to each other, and you know a lot of times there's that door that connects 2 rooms. So that's what all of these ta'im had. They had a door connecting them, so you could go from one to the other all the way through, and also they had an opening on top, which was accessed through a ladder, so they could get to the level above. Now, Bekerem Mizrachas Tzvainis, in the northeastern corner, Hayu Chamisha Psachim, there were 5 openings. Northeastern is right when you walk into the Heichal, and you turn immediately to your right, that's northeast. So that first chamber over there actually had 5 entranceways. Ech L'Tamin Yamimin, one to the one on the right, because there actually was only a chamber to the right, because this is the first one in the row. Ve'ech L'Tan Shal Gabav, one to the chamber up above it, that's the second floor. Ve'ech Masiba, one to the Masiba, which is a winding walkway on the outside that led to the roof of all these ta'im. Ve'echel pishpash, one was the opening to the pishpash, to the side gate, the side opening that the kohen walked in the morning to open up the heichal, as we described in the previous Mishnah. Ve'echel heichal, and one opening led from this first ta directly into the heichal, as we had also described in the previous Mishnah. And we're discussing these ta'im, these chambers or cells or rooms that were located on the perimeter outside of the 3 walls of the heichal, south, north, and west. That's the right, left, and back walls. So now we discuss what the size of these rooms were. Remember, there were 3 levels of rooms, so we're going to learn the insides were different. The Mishnah tells us, Hatachtoina Chamisha, the bottom one, meaning the width of the bottom room, was 5, V'Roived Shisha, and the Roived was 6. Now, Roived means the floor. In other words, the ceiling of the bottom one was actually 6 amos, and that means that the floor of the middle one was also 6 amos, because it's the same thing. Now, how is it that the inside was 5, but the ceiling was 6? So you might have a handy picture here that would explain explain everything. If you don't have a picture, just imagine the room you're sitting in, and it's very possible that there's a room above it. Maybe you're in an office building in your house and you're on the first floor, so you have a room above on the second floor. And since the beams that are your ceiling are acting as the floor of the room above, so we want extra support for that room above. Therefore, that ceiling slash floor beam extends out in extra amma for that extra support. So that's why the bottom room was 5 amos, the ceiling was 6. And again, that means the roived, the floor of the middle chamber, of the middle section, was 6. And that also means, continues the Mishnah, v'am tzayis shisha, so that means the entire middle chamber was 6 amos, and v'roived sheva, the ceiling, and memela, the floor of the upper one, was 7 amos, and v'alyoyna sheva, the upper one was 7 amos. And where do we see this? Shemar, the pasuk says, ha'yotziyah tachtoina chamesh ba'amah rachba, the bottom yotziyah, this bottom section, was 5 amos wide, v'atichoina shesh ba'amah rachba, and the middle one was 6 amos wide, v'ashlishes sheva ba'amah rachba, and the third one was 7 amos wide. We're going to start for the day and pick up tomorrow with Mishnah Hey, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.